With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This is a CC Radio podcast.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling. Like, you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get was a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe, Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFOradio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review, or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that would help us grow. Tonight, I'm joined by Shannon LeGros. She is the host of the fascinating podcast Into the Fray, where she speaks to witnesses of cryptids, UFOs, and the paranormal. She has co-authored books on both Bigfoot and the paranormal and founded Beyond the Fray Publishing. You can also catch her as the host for the Small Town Monsters production On the Trail of UFOs, which you can find on Amazon Prime.
Shannon, welcome to the Believe podcast. It's great to have you on.
Thank you for inviting me. Very good to be on.
It is not often I get to talk to a large podcaster that I've been listening to for years. So if you hear me kind of fangirling throughout the podcast, you'll have to forgive me a little bit.
Well, I don't know who you're talking about. It can't be me. I mean, fangirling about my show. I don't know. No, thank you so much, Kate. I appreciate that.
And for those who are listening, Shannon does have a absolutely fantastic show, Into the Fray. It is a podcast that you've been doing for about 6 or so years from memory. And it's very much in the same vein as what Believe is, where you have really, really interesting people come on the show who have had experiences with the weird, the unknown. And you kind of just pull them to pieces to get all this little bit of extra information about their encounters. Is that the did I explain that right?
It's spot on. Yes. No, you did a fantastic job. Yeah, I've been running about 6 years, and I previously was on a show that was Sasquatch only, but when I knew that I wanted to start my own, I knew that multi-topic would be my thing, because even though I love Bigfoot, that's not even how I got my start into the paranormal. Most of us have some kind of an inception story, and mine had nothing to do with Sasquatch, as much as I want it to be. It is not. So yeah, I talked to folks that have had UFO encounters, Bigfoot, a myriad of cryptids, even ones that we can't quite identify, which are some of my favorite episodes, of course. Whatever high strangeness it comes across through the emails and things I'm trying to clamor. And at this point, you probably have the same problem. You know, you're kind of going, I have such a backlog of people that I could talk to, you know, and then somebody will email you and go, I dance with the devil on the pale moonlight or under the pale moonlight. And you're like, I need to talk to you now, you know, and then you get them on like, you know, that next week or something. So it's one of those things where it's a good problem to have. I have a backlog of folks that I have said, yes, I want you on the show. And, you know, they haven't heard from me for quite a long time, and it's not intentional, but yeah, it runs weekly, and I'm still having a blast doing it. And, yeah, it's definitely opened up a lot of doors as far as people I've gotten to meet and been very lucky to work with.
I think that's the wonderful thing about the paranormal is that you get to meet these people that you normally wouldn't ever think would walk into your lives. And somehow the high strangeness of the whole situation is this like fine twine that kind of just binds everyone together.
It is. And actually, it's funny you say that because I just had a really strange situation with the episode that's going to air tomorrow night is entitled The Peace Officers and the Cryptids of Flint River. And the very first one was just entitled The Peace Officer and the Cryptids of Flint River. It's in Georgia and it featured a law enforcement officer. Well, in talking to him, we keep in touch, as I do with a lot of my guests. And he goes, well, did you know that there's this other guy, ex-law enforcement also, that had Bigfoot stuff going on? His name's Pat Aiken, and he wrote a book called Elkins Creek. And I'm like, no, never heard of this guy. And so he and I were both trying to track him down. Couldn't do it because I wanted to do a roundtable. I mean, two ex-law enforcement officers talking about cryptids. It doesn't get any better than that, you know, and I get that. It's the credibility aspect, and they're both well-spoken. They had great stories, but I'm like, well, it's me. I'm pretty good at tracking people down, and I have an ex-law enforcement guy. We're going to find this guy real quick. Couldn't get a bead on him for the life of us, and then after 2 weeks, lo and behold, Kyle Filson of Expanded Perspectives. Now, this is the whole thing. We've been friends for a long time. You know, I've never met them, Cam or Kyle, but we do converse over email and text out of the blue. And he's never done this. He emails me and he goes, we had this guy in a couple months ago. He's awesome. He'd be great on ITF. Never has he ever done this. It is Pat Aiken, the guy that I have been trying to track down with this other. It's just weird. So you know what I mean about the synchronicities and the weird stuff that can happen about, you know, the whole staring into the abyss thing. It's true. It doesn't happen often to me, and that's never happened because I don't usually have to track people down. As I said, I got a backlog of folks to talk to, but this was one that I wanted to make happen. And lo and behold, Kyle with the psychic power or whatever the hell it was, he's like, here's his email. I'm like, what the hell is going on? This is amazing. So, the things that can kind of happen, even when you're not out investigating, which I really don't do a whole lot of that. I do go out for the docs and stuff, and that is amazing. It's like a drug, and I'm like, yeah, I'm soaking it in when we're doing it. But it's mostly just, you know, what do you do? Just sitting down and listening to the stories and collecting the stories. And that's where I'm coming from with the whole thing is mostly I'm just a story collector and I can identify with it because I've had my own experiences.
Your own experiences, is that what got you into doing the podcast? Because there's usually a catalyst for some people to go out and go down these rabbit holes because it could be a UFO encounter. It could be a Yowie encounter or where you're from, maybe Bigfoot or Sasquatch. And they kind of, their world gets turned upside down. They want to look into it more. So you had a moment like that?
I did. I mean, I wouldn't say that that's what got me into actually doing the shows, but when I was 12, my parents divorced and my dad found this awesome place called Duck Creek, Utah, and he bought a cabin out there. And I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada, and from Vegas to Duck Creek, it's like, you know, 4 hours, 5 hours. It's a quick drive. So what we would do all day long is ride four-wheelers or go fishing. You know, I was 12, my brother was 10, and my stepbrother was along for most of those excursions as well. And we were riding our four-wheelers. And the way that where our cabin was set up, it was all dirt roads, but it was easy, like a grid pattern. So really you could kind of haul ass down these roads and not have any problem. Right. So that's what we're doing. My dad was down in Cedar City, 30 miles down the hill, picking up God knows what food or who knows. That was a long time ago. So with him being gone, it was kind of a warm day. And I was like, Shannon doesn't feel like wearing her helmet. So I didn't. And not bright. Don't recommend doing that to anyone. Anyway, I'm hanging back because the roads are dirt and my brother and my stepbrother are riding in front of me, you know, and they're kicking up dust. Well, nobody likes to eat dust. Literally eat my dust. I don't want to do that. Those are the stickers that you put on your four-wheeler when you're a cool kid. And I'm hanging back. Now, it's middle of the day, no clouds, sunshiny, beautiful day in Utah, like summertime. And I look off, I'm hauling ass down this road. I look off to my right. And, you know, when you're talking about a place like Ohio versus where I'm talking about here, there is almost no ground brush here in Utah. Whereas if you go to some places in Utah or in Ohio, there's thorny underbrush, you know, it comes 4 feet high, you know, different. I'm sure in Australia, it's the same, like different areas. It looks completely different. So, and that'll be important when I describe what I saw, but off in between these aspen trees, I see four absolutely pitch black, like the deepest, darkest black. And then somehow they're still darker than that. Like no light could find them, like cutouts from the darkest night and still darker. It's just really hard to describe, but there's four of these things and they're very clearly humanoid shaped and they are running like paralleling me whilst I am hauling my ass on my four wheeler going very quickly. And they're keeping up with me and I watch them for a good five count, which if you actually count it out is a pretty good clip to see something. The weird thing about them, and I sometimes forget to mention this, it's an important part. And it was imparted on me even at that young age. I'm looking at them and I knew instantly, you guys are not from around here. You're really freaking weird. They were moving their arms and legs. Like they were pumping their arms as if they were a human being running like you would do. And I instantly am going, why the hell are you doing that? Like, do you really need to be doing that motion? Look at you guys, right? So I watch them for five. I'm all this stuff is registering very quickly. I'm still driving on my four-wheeler, so I have to check my path. I look forward and I look back again and they're gone. That's it. That was it. It was 5 seconds. Yes, I have seen a couple of other interesting things, but like that's my big thing that I can say, you know, that was my inception plus one of just hands down the strangest things that's ever happened to me. And when people, even if they do have a Bigfoot encounter or something, and again, and I've had people go, maybe it was for Bigfoot. And, you know, I know that they're just trying to appease me because I want to see a Bigfoot so badly, but I can assure you they were not anything having to do with Bigfoot. So, you know, at 12 and, you know, this is like 94. So, you know, there's no, it was for like pagers became cool. And, you know, you're a cool kid with your pager and all of this, the Motorola's, you know what I'm saying? And, so what I did, I have it somewhere probably, but I think the closest thing for me back then to what I do now is I had this notebook and I would ask my friends like, oh, have you seen anything strange? And we'll write it down in my notebook, you know? And there wasn't a whole lot of stories in there, but I guess that was my inception into story collecting. And then the podcast side of it came in when I was consuming so many podcasts that's all I did, just a listener. And Sasquatch Chronicle, it was called Bigfoot Hotspot Radio at the time, prior to going to SC. And I was extremely active in the Bigfoot Hotspot Radio Facebook page. And Wes took notice. And then the rest is history as far as that goes. I got invited on the show. It was one of the most nervous I've ever been in my entire life because now I'm on the show with Wes, you know, that I love. I love Wes and Will. And I was on there for about a year and then I started ITF. So I have always and will always say Wes Germer is the reason that I'm even in podcasting. It was not even a thought in my mind to do such a thing.
I'll be honest. Wes is one of the main reasons I started a podcast as well, because I was pretty much down in that same boat as you. You know, you're just kind of consuming content like an absolute madman. And I kind of figured, you know what? I like what he does. I'm going to go copy paste and put the Australian label on it. And I'm not just going to do Yowies. I'm going to bring everything else in. And yes. I think he probably sets a template for how to do the type of shows that we do, that I think nearly everyone who does something like us would almost emulate him to an extent.
Absolutely. No, you hit it on the head. And the longer I do the interviews, the more I actually just, I've relaxed enough to just shut up a little bit more, you know, and that does take time to where you don't feel like you're having to, and being better at taking notes. And maybe that, just that, I think the listening aspect of it is such a learned thing. It really, really is. You know, when you're starting out, right? Like, and not getting lost in the shuffle of things. And that once the technical stuff is done, then you can kind of relax a little bit more. But being an interviewer is something that, you know, Wes was always so good at that. And he's very compassionate and towards his guests, and he's a good listener, and he's down to earth is the biggest thing, right? Like, who wants to talk to some egomaniac that just, you know, doesn't really give a shit about you? He just wants you on the show because he knows he's going to get downloads. And that's not Wes. It never was him. So that's something that I tried to take from my time with Wes for sure, and plug that into ITF.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that I bring on board with Believe. And I like to think I even take it a little step further, where I always try to bring someone on the show. And I don't know if this is a philosophy that you have with your show, is that it's almost like a sense of therapy for some of the people who've come on your show. Because I've had listeners, I've had guests come on the show, and they've kept a story to themselves for, you know, 40, 50 years. And right. It's like a weight is genuinely lifted off their shoulders. And that was kind of profound for me, because it's kind of like, wow, what you're doing here is actually helping people. And once I realized that, I started to try to put a lot of variety of the types of encounters I've had on the show, because it's not to say that one person's encounter is less important than another. It's more so to say that someone's encounter can help someone else's. So always try to put something new on the show because that can help just one other person to go, you know what, I'm not crazy. I have seen this. This is a real thing.
Yes, that is nail on the head right there, Kate. Because, and what you said is so true about when you get somebody on, and even after 6 years, this still gets me when someone's like, I haven't told anyone, or I've just told my wife, or it's just, you know, me and my brother who had the experience with them, who won't even talk about it, but they're on your show and they're telling you, they chose you. That's the biggest. I'm still blown away.
Yeah.
When people say that to me after 6 years, I'm still going, this, thank you. Thank you. That's incredible. Thank you so much for choosing me you're trusting me with your story.
Yeah. It's truly something special, I think. And it's a complete injustice to cut these people's stories off. So that's why I like to sit down and just absolutely shut up and let the people tell their stories, because I don't think I'm the star of any show. It's always the guest, and I'm just the person there guiding them through their journey there.
That's right. We're just a facilitator. And that's what I was trying to, I recently finally realized that I'm like, I shut up more now as an interviewer. And that's a, you know, that's a good thing. I think that's, you know, people go, well, you've definitely gotten better. And I take that as a compliment. You know, some people go, what do you mean? I was always fantastic. No, we always have room to grow, you know? And I know that I certainly have. And, you know, some people do need help more than others. As you know, some guests, you can just like chill back and like cross your, you mute out your mic and, you know, you listen, and they're 30 minutes later, you're still jotting down notes of what you want to swing back to, and others need the help. But for the most part, yeah, I'm like, oh, just along for the ride. And the less I know before I go into an interview, the more I enjoy it. So I can be kind of surprised.
Yeah.
Because I mean, your show, you're much the same. You talk to personal experiencers that, you know, they're not a podcaster, they're not an author, they're not any of this stuff, but you also talk to those people too. So it's the same for me. And some people, they want to do the dump in the email prior to, that's totally fine. You know, I'll skim it. I'll be honest. I'm a skimmer, a chronic skimmer. But if somebody just goes, hey, I saw Bigfoot when I was 10 and, you know, I shit myself and it was terrifying and I want to tell you, I'm like, cool, let's schedule. And then I don't want to hear anything else about it until I hop on with them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's usually those people who are a little bit more vague about the details have, I don't want to say the better story, but the story that's really going to blow your mind, because I don't like to compare people's encounters because everyone's encounter is different and it's personal. But some people just don't know how to articulate it properly or the way that they should do in an email. So when you talk to them, it's just like they just absolutely spill their guts and it is, you'll get the most mind-blowing experience that you'll ever hear out of that.
No, that, you know, again, spot on. That's what I've found too. The less they'll say in the email, I'm like, it's like the Jurassic Park, hold on to your butts, you know, line. Like it's probably going to be a good one. And, yeah, and a lot of times it is.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, Shannon, I do want to swing back to your Shadow Man encounter because I do actually have some questions about this.
Yeah.
Because this is the first time I've actually ever heard of more than one Shadow Man being in, I wouldn't say a scene because it's not a movie, but, you know, like in a moment of time.
Yeah, that's definitely a strange aspect to it. You'll hear a lot of them standing in the corner of a bedroom, you know, or standing under whatever. Yeah, but you're right. It is very strange. I get asked a lot, well, what were they? And if I could answer that, I mean, I could probably do a lot of things that I want to do. But, you know, there's just no experts in this stuff. And for me to even I can conjecture all day, but I have no idea what they are, where they came from, where they went. You know, why me? That's always a good question. Why the hell did I see that? And it definitely affected me. I wouldn't say I guess I was scared in a way because I told my brother and my stepbrother, I caught up to them right after that. I'm like, let's go back. I want to go back. And like, we just got out of here. Let's go. Let's ride. I mean, we would ride all day barring the fuel running out. You know, there's lava beds to climb. And something I didn't say is that once my dad got home, once he got back to the cabin, I told him what I saw. And he's ex-military. So his response was, well, it's military men doing exercises. They do it all the time out here, which they probably do. But I was very adamant. I was like, yes, but these are not people, Dad. These were not people. And to this day, he remembers me telling him and he still doesn't believe me.
Wow.
He's very proud of me from my show. He thinks it's awesome. You know, he sees the thing on all this stuff on Amazon. He's, this is great. He got cool stuff. But I still don't believe that those were anything but dudes in some weird outfits doing military training.
Your dad is straight up savage.
Yeah, he's a very honest man. Yeah, I was trying to impart to him. I'm like, Dad, you don't understand. Like, there were trees, you know, the aspen trees. They're not massive trees. They're probably diameter, maybe 12, 14 inches around. But, you know, they're running and they're not having to dodge, duck, dive, you know, like from the movie Dodgeball. They were not having to do any of those dodge, duck, dive.
So were they running through all the trees and stuff like that?
That's the thing. It's really hard to explain. It's not that I ever saw one pass through a tree. It's just that they were just running as if they weren't there.
Yeah, you know, there was no...
It's so hard to explain.
Wow.
But, yeah. And, man, I wish I would have just not looked away, even just for a couple more seconds. Like, what else could my brain have picked up?
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing about the experience is none of them interacted with me. Like, nobody looked over and flipped me off or waved or smiled or... I think that would have changed the experience for me a lot, right? Like, I think that would have been, now you're going to lose a whole lot of sleep and you may need some therapy, you know? which dad won't pay for because they're just people.
It was kind of like a sliding doors moment. You're just there at the right timing. You peeked exactly. over. Yeah. Have you
that's
heard?
That's what it seems like.
Have you heard of the I guess the what would you call this? I guess the phenomenon of the mirrored men. And this is something I learned on the mm-hmm. Monsters About Us podcast. It's something I've never yep. heard anywhere else, but this seems to be a huge, massive component of that show where he has people call in and share these encounters with what they call mirrored men. Do you think right. it was something like that? And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
Yeah, I've that's come up before. It could have been, except maybe these guys weren't graduated yet because they weren't moving exactly the same. You know, they were like the sublet of the mirrored men.
You caught them in training.
From Monsters Among Us. Yeah, they're in training. Like, guys, come on. One, two. Let's go. It very well could be. But those accounts, I mean, really, like you said before, the point that you brought up about it not being just a single shadow person in my encounter, it's the same for that mirrored man. I mean, that's the only other thing, right, yeah. that could come up and that jogs a memory about somebody else sharing something even close to mine.
I don't know what this mirrored men phenomenon is, but it's genuinely weird because I've never heard of it really happening anywhere else. And it's like this is almost being brought up through that podcast. It's like something has been wished into existence. It's
like a tulpa, right?
Yeah, it's so fascinating.
Yeah. Like one guy on my show, he's just outside like Phoenix or something. And years ago, he's heading to work. And he admitted he was on kind of, you know, little sleep. He had a young child at the time. And he's like, well, I could be kind of sleep deprived. But I mean, I've been sleep deprived and this never happened. For 2 weeks straight on the way, especially I think on the way to work. So it was light out, but it was early in the morning. Get this. He sees basically the first time he saw it was on a roof. It was like 8 to 10 feet tall. Pitch black, what you would think of as well, like death, you know, like if you had a cutout of death, sans the scythe, the robe and the whole thing, and it, you know, the hood pulled up, right? And he saw it on a freaking rooftop, just standing there, and he's like, oh, it's kind of early for a Halloween decoration, but okay. And he's kind of watching it, and this thing turns its head. And basically, he got the sense it was watching him. And that wasn't the only time he saw that thing. And then it was on top of a light pole another time. And it did the same thing. It followed his car as he was going by, as if it was going, I see you. I see you that you see me. You know, like that's the thing about this phenomenon. It was like it didn't move until he noticed it. You know, oh, and the other thing about the rooftop shadow or whatever the hell that is. Death is, I just say death because he's in the cloak and everything, but it was crouched down. That was a big thing. I screwed up that awesome story. It was crouched down and then he noticed it and it stands up and he's still like, that's a cool like automated like decoration. But then he noticed like its head moved towards him. Like, what the hell?
You know what? It's so weird you recount that encounter there, Shannon, because I kid you not, the episode that I just dropped yesterday, at this time of recording, it was season 10, episode 5. It was a truck driver, and he was pulling into a depot to unload his delivery. saw exactly the same creature here in Australia.
Get out.
Or entity, something that sound exactly the same as that.
Where was it?
It was down in New South Wales, I believe, and which is like a state here in Australia. And the really weird thing is he was able to get some headlights onto this thing, and it wasn't casting a shadow.
No.
And it's just like, that's level 11 creepiness. Something that doesn't cast a shadow when you've got a light on it.
Oh my gosh. That poor guy, right? But it had the hood, like exactly how I described it. But like, he couldn't make out a face, right?
He couldn't see anything. Kind of, yeah, right. He just saw like
the hood. Yeah, same thing. Oh my gosh. That's weird because I haven't even told that story in quite a while. It's in my book, Para Amalgamation, but I don't really bring that one up. But you know, what the trucker saw and what Jeremy saw from the freeway, is that the same thing as what I saw? You know?
Yeah.
They looked different. They weren't hooded. It just looked like weird little, well, I say little, but they were like 6 to 7 feet tall, but weird cardboard, weird cutouts of something, you know, just placed there like a freaky gingerbread man from hell, you know, just there running through the woods. And I don't know what the hell those things are, though.
There's only been one person I've spoken to on the show who seemed to have something similar happen to them. And they were having a lot of Yowie activity on this property they lived at. And one of these types of creatures was hanging out with the Yowies.
What?
Yeah. So what it was kind of like this black mass that was obviously like a bipedal type of creature. Had arms, had all of that. And it was just black. And from a distance, it looked solid black. But this lady got so close to it, I would say within 3 foot of it. And she says when she was up close, it's like the edges were fuzzy. Like it was, like it wasn't in focus, was what she said.
Oh my gosh. So, you know, what do you make of that? You know, the whole... Well, in the United States, you probably heard the term woo. People like to call it the woo, right? You took Bigfoot or Yowie or Yeti, and then you there's lights and there's UFOs and there's all this stuff around that situation, which I've actually had. The lights while I'm out Bigfoot, a light while I'm out Bigfooting, which actually is really annoying to me. But what is your take on that whole thing, right? Like, does that explain very easily then why we cannot find one of these things and finally prove them?
I don't know, because anytime I get an idea of what I think maybe the Yowie is, it changes the next time I talk to someone, because there's no rules with this creature that I've found. Like, you might find there's a connecting element between a lot of, I guess, encounters with people, but you'll hear people who, and I have no doubt that you, this will be like second nature to you as soon as I say it, you'll hear people say that it turned into like the predator and it disappeared. I can hear it walking around. I couldn't see it. And then you have people who go, I see it jumped across a walkway and it was gone. Like, I looked into the bushes and I couldn't find it. It's something that is so puzzling that I actually had to get Ron Moorhead on the show, and he has a very interesting theory that, you know, they're almost like a realm hopping type of creature that they kind of go, I think he said, into the fifth dimension, or it was like a quantum jump that they do or something like that. So he thinks that explains the weird energy that is around when you see a Sasquatch, when you see a Yowie, because, you know, it's not uncommon to see the lights. It's not uncommon for batteries to drain. All these weird little things that happen, unexplained phenomena when you see a creature like this. It's, I don't know what to really think of it at the end of the day, because I haven't experienced one myself quite like that. And I think until you do, it's just one of those unknowns, I think.
What do you mean quite like that? You've had a Yowie experience then?
I think I've seen a Yowie, and it's kind of, I would say it's very much along the lines of what you're a shadow person encounter would be like, this was something I saw very much in the corner of my eye. It looked about 8 foot tall. It was gigantic. And by the time I looked back, it was gone. And it's kind of like, did I see that? Or was that just right. something in the corner of my eye? But I kind of had the perfect scenario to see one, because where I used to live above a rainforest. I built a house that had these 13 meter, off of you, that might be 33 feet tall poles.
Thank you for doing the conversion. Yeah. I'm going to act like I know how tall that is.
And it was like a house that lived above the rainforest. It was wow. beautiful. And, but I used to hear a lot of bipedal walking, wood knocks, stuff like that down there. And it's hard for me to fully lean in on it because the Australian bush is so full of activity already, because, you know, we have a lot of creepy crawlies and creatures that just run around the bush like crazy. For me to fully lean in and say, yeah, that was definitely a Yowie, hard to lock it down, but there was enough there that made me go, oh, that could have been one.
But see, that's interesting. For your mind, though, to put an artifact that's 8 feet tall and massive just randomly, you know, but to you, you're going, there was something there. There was something there, right? Or whatever it was, I mean, who knows?
Yeah, 100% something was there, but what it was, it's hard for me to commit to saying 100% a Yowie, but there's just all this other activity that goes along with Yowies and Bigfoot encounters that kind of pushes it more towards it potentially being that.
Something that I brought up yesterday in my recording with these two law enforcement guys about all the Bigfoot stuff was, I said, you know, because Pat is in the camp that they are paranormal because of the fact that he casted one of the best track casts I've ever seen. It's called the Elkins Creek cast. And the definition on this thing is really amazing. And he actually had it sent out. This is obviously quite a long time ago. He had it sent out to Grover Krantz, which for Bigfoot folks, you know, he's like one of the four horsemen. Like, he is a badass, right? I guess he didn't say much about it, kind of thing. But then it got sent to Dr. Jeff Meldrum, who was like, yeah, this is legit, you know. He was in the Flesh and Blood camp for years. He went out, started his own research group. They were kind of quote unquote hunting it, you know, loose term. Even nowadays, it's a loose term. Just means you're searching for it. They had a couple of kind of sort of maybe experiences, nothing remarkable. And then he goes out by himself, which he's laughing now because he goes, what a dummy. I don't do that anymore. But he had gone out at some point by himself and he sees a trackway, right? Just footprints and leading out. And he follows them for like 300 yards. What's the conversion of that for you, guys over there?
That'll be about 270 meters.
All right. Okay. We got this. So he's following this and it gets to a stand of trees, like a circle. And he says, it's not like it's a circle. It's just a stand of trees by itself, right? Like, so like nothing else kind of around it. La, la. And he goes into the stand of trees and then the footprints just end. And he said that he's very analytical. Obviously he's a law enforcement officer and now he's into Bigfoot and like, that's his thing. And that was his oh shit moment to go, oh, well, maybe we're dealing with something else here, you know, because he goes, I looked at every permutation possible that, you know, this Bigfoot or whatever could have jumped or, you know, he goes, barring a freaking helicopter coming down and, you know, straight up like Mission Impossible grabbing onto that thing, how in the shiza did these footprints just end? Right. So, and you know, that's another plug for a really good book. I don't know if you've talked to Timothy Renner and Joshua Kitchen. They did the Where the Footprints End, and that's their whole thing, right? I mean, and that's the title of the book.
I think they've just come out with the second version of the book. Perfectly.
Yeah, volume 2 is out. Hell, I still need to get them on. But it's such a, it's a sticky thing, because, you know, you kind of go, yeah, it's cool. And, you know, the footprints ending, or lights while you're out for Bigfooting, which, like I said, I have seen that. Does it mean it's tied in? I couldn't tell you, but it happened. And, but how the hell are we going to find out what these things are? We never will. We'll never figure it out. We're never going to have this proof, you know, this scientific proof, the DNA, even though we have had things tested and it comes back, you know, a known primate or something weird, or, you know, mitochondrial DNA of the all this stuff's going on. Still not enough. So, you know, I don't want them to be paranormal, but it doesn't really matter what I want.
Well, what do you think the Bigfoot is?
Well,
and it's a totally loaded question.
It is. It's so loaded. But, you know, obviously we get this a lot as researchers and people that collect stories. But I see, I'm totally in your boat. What you said. I hate to say that. It's kind of a cop out, but I'll talk to somebody who is like, you know, like Ken Gerhardt, right? Like, he even, like, that's his job. Like, he works at a zoo. Like, he's into biology and in the flesh and blood camp. And that's where I want to camp. That's where I want to be. But then I get somebody on who's damn near crying, and you can hear how difficult it is for them to tell their story. They're not here promoting a book, right? They get nothing out of it.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're even anonymous on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Really, they're choked up. They're having a hard time. They're taking deep breaths. They're swallowing real hard. They're like, okay, give me a second. And they're telling you this story about some goddamn thing like Predator, right? Goes into Predator mode. Or they feel like they're being stalked by something that's not flesh and blood at all. Even so, I keep bringing this, I don't mean to keep like bringing up this same episode, but there's two law enforcement officers. The other one, Chuck, his side of it, the reason it's called the Cryptids of Flint River is because his side of it was more dog man, which I hate that stupid term. I hate that name. What the hell else are we going to call it, right? It's not a werewolf because it's not a person that turns into, you know, a wolf. So a dog man. And he and his partner at the time, a fellow law enforcement guy, and they're actually like marksmen. Like they go and it, for tournaments, they shoot shit and they're really good at it. And amen, right? He's having this horrible encounter, and he's like actually backing up. It's dark. They're out hunting. That was why they were out there. And he's backing up and he's shooting at this horrific thing that's in the woods. And all he knows that it's high off the ground and it's like doing this peak thing, but then you know, he can see it like going tree to tree. It's massive. In the first flash, he saw like, you know, hair and something real screwed up. And he shot it. He unloaded a full magazine into it, 10 rounds.
Oh, wow.
He doesn't know how. He knows that at least one hit it. By the time he gets to his friend, now he's a law enforcement officer, so he's trained to, you don't, it's not shoot first, ask questions later. Like, they don't unload their weapons unless it, you know, that's a big deal to them. They don't screw around. They're not just out there spraying, you know, whatever. Oh, raccoon, we could be anything. Just, you know, unload everything. So he's doing that. By the time he gets to the truck, his friend, fellow law enforcement, he's got a 300 Win, like, rifle, like a big, big rifle. Again, they're out hunting, so of course they're armed. And he takes a shot at it. He got, I guess, an even better look at this thing. He definitely hit it. But I guess it did scream. He said it made, and he still says he has nightmares about that scream that it made. But he says it wasn't a Bigfoot. He didn't feel it was a Bigfoot. So he feels it was more along the lines of a dog man. His friend said that the hair was 3 to 4 inches long over the entire body. But it's kind of like, hard. What's a good example? Like, you know, when, so it's got long hair. So you would think you wouldn't be able to see the skin, but he could see the skin underneath, if that makes sense, you know? Dogman, that was the experience there. But sorry, the point of that was James Pat is in the paranormal camp, but Chuck wasn't. However, you know, even Chuck was like, well, we hit it twice. It didn't go down. And these were big rounds. And then they left. But then the next day, they're like, well, we got to go back. We got to look for the body or at least some kind of evidence.
Yeah, of
course. Get back. And the owner of the land goes, get your shit and get out of here now. Because they had set up, you know, game cams and all this stuff. Like, they were allowed to hunt there. Get your shit and get out of here now. So weird. So what, you know, what is it? Did they find the thing or who knows? So there's just more, as you know, there's just more questions.
Absolutely. Because
this stuff,
when you hear stories like that, you know, it makes you think. For me, the first thing that came to mind was, is that a potential skinwalker? Because the famous story of the Skinwalker Ranch, and one of the most famous, I guess, interactions with a skinwalker was this thing appeared as a wolf, and the landowners essentially unloaded rounds into this creature and it just walked it off like it was nothing. It makes me wonder if, you know, something like that exists elsewhere as well.
It's got to, right? If that was a thing and it's that powerful or magical or whatever you want to label it, it's got to be out there somewhere else. You know, but what's the difference between that and somebody seeing like a Wendigo type thing? You know, had a lady on the show. She saw something twice within half a mile, on the way to work one morning, still dark. And it looks like this emaciated, damn near just skeleton looking thing covered with white skin. She cried when she got to work. I mean, she saw it twice. She said it was the same thing the second time. It was sitting in the middle of the road, crouched down.
Wow.
No clothes. Those are the kind of stories that I'm like, those are my favorites. Not because she was horrified and terrified and she couldn't sleep for years probably, but those one-offs and really, really weird things that can't just be neatly put into Bigfoot or ghosts, that's the good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you on that 100% because it's those encounters that don't seem to make sense. Like, no one would, in my opinion, like, no one would come on the show and lie about that, make it up, and be anonymous. Like, it's a situation of, oh, yeah, look at this. I got onto Into the Fray. I got on to Believe, and let's have a laugh because I told this bullshit story. I don't think that's the case. I think these really obscure, weird incidents are genuinely happening.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And see, somebody once said something like, well, yeah, they make them up so they can, like you said, like share them with their friends or something. I'm like, no. Like if you could sit on there with them prior to the recording and then ask, sometimes there's other things that, you know, we don't air, and them having such a hard time getting through that story. You're telling me that many good actors come on our show? You know what I mean? Like, why aren't they in Hollywood then? Because yeah. I have had my mind changed. Not fully, but I have had my mind changed about Bigfoot, depending on who I'm talking to. At that time, I'm like, holy shit. Okay, well, maybe they do. Maybe they are here mining gold for the aliens. Not really. But have you heard that theory yet?
Yeah, it's my favorite.
I love it so much. It's not gold. It's like, what the hell was it? They're mining. I can't remember. Anyway, they're mining some damn thing for the aliens. And, you know, no, I don't like that too much. But who am I to judge? You know, who the hell am I? I'm just a big nerd that likes to talk to other people that like to talk about this stuff. And that, yeah, they needed their brown pants one night and now they want to tell me about it. And that's awesome.
Yeah. And what I really love about the whole Bigfoot phenomenon is that there's so many different theories out there. There's so many different experiences that are different from each other, have a connecting tissue, And I don't think, personally, I don't ever want us to know what the Bigfoot is, because it kind of loses the romance about what this creature, this cryptid is. I just want it to be this fantastic piece of unknown that is forever just going to be out there terrorizing people for the sake that I get to talk to them, which sounds terrible. But,
right.
I just love the fact that everyone can have a theory about what this creature may be, and they very well may be right, because I think there's nothing worse or more naive than, I'm putting this in bunny ears, researchers who say, this is definitely what the Bigfoot, this is what the Yowie is.
Such a pet peeve of mine, that word expert. I'm like, stop it. Stop. How could you be? How? Guess what? You can't.
Yeah.
You don't have a Bigfoot on a slab in your garage, homie. Stop.
But they do have plenty of red circle pictures and arrows pointing the thing. So that makes them the expert, Shannon. And you're wrong for disagreeing with them.
That is very true. No, in fact, Bigfooters are just funny bunches, man. Because there was a horrible video that came out. It wasn't too long ago. And it was actually just on my phone. I'm watching it and I'm scrubbing, and I go to the point where the subject, the Bigfoot, is closest to, you know, the camera. And I zoom in and I'm like, oh, okay, straight line. It was the bottom of the guy's jacket, you know? and I posted that in my Into the Fray group. And I said, look, this is like going viral right now, but here's what I just found in like 5 minutes, you know? And I lightened up the picture. It's a bottom of a homie's jacket, like camo jacket. And someone had taken, like, shared it from ITF to another group. And this guy loses his shit. And he goes, I can't believe that you copied me. I posted that. I found that screenshot and I posted it like, you know, an hour ago or whatever the hell it was. I'm like, dude, I have better things to do than to. I don't even know you. Like, it took me. He's so precious, though. He's like, I put that in my software and I ran it for, you know, he was working on that thing for I don't know how long. It's some computer program. I'm like, homie, I just found that in 5 minutes on my phone. I wasn't trying to brag. I didn't appreciate the fact that he thought I had copied him, you know. And I'm like, oh, you Bigfooters are a funny bunch.
I swear. They really are. Okay. I actually do a live show every month on the Believe Facebook page where I have people call in, but in the interim when people aren't calling in, I actually do live evidence reviews. So I have listeners of the show, they supply pictures, their own evidence, or even evidence they found online, and I run it through Photoshop, put all the filters that I can on there to kind of, you know, find the real nuggets of truth and kind of put the bullshit away.
Yeah.
And it's my favorite thing to do, because you can find some real gems out there, but it's when you find the real turds is the ones that I like the most.
Oh yeah. It's extremely entertaining. That's what I'll say. And, you know, places like Facebook or, you know, even the comments on YouTube, it can be such a cesspool that, you know, if you're not good at just kind of blocking it out, or you just ignore it, or whatever you need to do. But I don't even really participate in the Bigfoot community. We all use that as a very light term, especially nowadays, but it needs a new name. But yeah, Warfield. I'm not a
big, I think Warfield's the right term for Bigfoot, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes. I need to start using that word, by the way, because then no one over here will know what I'm calling them. I love it. Yes. High five on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Shannon, it's been so fantastic having you on the show. I need to get you on again, because I need to talk to you about every second you spent filming, narrating, being part of the On the Trails of UFOs by Small Town Monsters. It's one of my most favorite things to watch, and it absolutely blew my mind. It was my first introduction to the Small Town Monsters productions, and I was lucky enough that you were on there, and it was like I listened to a podcast. This is amazing. So,
well, thanks, Kate. Yeah, absolutely. I would love to come back.
Awesome, awesome. Well, let's tee that up, because I have so many questions relating to that, and I'm going to steal all the time of your night. And
yeah, we could easily do a whole show on that, because, you know, just between the shenanigans and just UFOs in general, obviously, I would love to do that. Yeah, a second round is definitely in order, I'd say.
Absolutely. Let's do something up there. But in the meantime, Shannon, where can people find you? Where's the best place people can find your podcast, your website, things like that?
IntoTheFrayRadio.com is the website. And then, of course, any of the usual suspects for podcatchers. And I also publish on YouTube. Yeah, that's about it. I've got a couple books out that are pulled from my show experiences, plus ones that weren't actually heard on the show. And that is Beyond the Fray Bigfoot and Beyond the Fray Paramalgamation.
And you've got a huge sleuth of authors that are under your book label now, which is really, really fantastic. So be sure to go over there. Check out everyone else that Shannon's got on board there as well, because their books are amazing. I was lucky enough to get a couple of screeners off you the other day, and I'm like starting to sink my teeth into them now.
Yeah, I got more to send you too. Yeah, Beyond the Fray Publishing is where everybody can check out our authors. More to come too. There's going to be another book coming out shortly that you're going to be excited about. So,
and that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au. Or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/believeUFO radio. Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.